I want to say something to all the folks on the Zoom. Thank you for your patience with me admitting you all. Somebody has Read AI meeting notes set up, and I would rather not do that. So I don't know who's got Read AI meeting notes coming up, but I don't want to accidentally not let you into the meeting. So if you suddenly get cut off from the Zoom access, please come back. Sorry. It's AI notes imposes itself on every Zoom everywhere. It's very strange.
Yeah, and then it
summarizes. I mean, it's okay to have, but we've got closed captions. Okay. No.
Okay, recording in progress.
So this is the February 19, 2025 DD board meeting.
All right, and we will call the meeting to order with the roll call first.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here. Okay, so do we need to invite, we need to approve his participation in the meeting, so can we put that in ahead of approval of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, very good. We'll need a motion to allow Dr. Sharma to participate in today's meeting on Zoom.
Did you just make that motion?
I could have, yes.
Okay,
I will second that motion. Okay, any conversation about that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Very good. Welcome to the meeting, Dr. Sharp.
Also, the county board liaison to the DD board has joined us online. She doesn't need to be voted in, but when we get to comments, I want to remember to introduce her, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great. All right, very good. So approval of the agenda, we need a motion and a second for that.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any changes or additions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Next up is the meeting schedule, the acronyms and the glossary. We don't have any action on that. Is there any citizen input? Okay, seeing nobody jumping up, I'm going to go on to my comments. I really don't have any. We are preparing for a long stretch in reading all of the grant proposals that all of you put so much work into, and promise we'll be thorough. So thank you for all of your work and your participation in this process. We appreciate it. And Ms. Canfield.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much time with comments. We do have a new liaison to the DD board from the county board, and that's Jenny Lockshin, and she is on the Zoom. So I would like to yield my comments for her to introduce herself.
I think I've got this unmuted, if I'm not muted. Hello,
we got you.
Jenny Lockshin from the Champaign County Board. I'm happy to be serving as liaison for the committee. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. You can always reach me at jlockshin. I'm not sure what the extension is for my Champaign County email address these days. It can be found in the county system, and I'm happy to bring anything you have before the board as well. So thank you for having me. Again, any questions, feel free to reach out.
Thank you. It's great to have you on board. All right. Approval of the minutes from the last meeting. We need to motion and second that.
I move to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any other comments on that?
I'm not listed as present again.
Oh.
And I'm listed twice.
Oh, my goodness.
This is 2 months in a row that we've done that with you two.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that.
We look so much alike.
So sorry.
Except you could be my daughter. Okay, well, with that correction made, do you amend the motion to include the correction?
Yes.
And you accept that correction?
Yes. And can we just how do we verify that the last month's minutes were corrected? Just because I
posted. Okay.
I will go ahead and check.
I can go to the county page and show it to you if you want. But okay.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Yeah, if we want to. We're at invoice lists, and that's page 8 through 10. Need a motion to accept the vendor invoice lists.
Move to accept the invoice list.
And a second. Thank you, Susan. Any comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 It just went off again. Okay. All right. Let's see, where are we? Staff reports, very information filled as always. We always appreciate the work that the staff do. Any questions for staff on their reports at all? No? Okay. Moving on to new business review of applications.
Vicki, I have a couple questions.
Kim, yes.
So thank you, staff, for the reports. I think I saw that there was, I think it was in Leon's report, there, or maybe it was Kim's, about the survey we're going to put together to gather information from agencies about how consumers are being affected. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, that actually, that survey was emailed to all of the agencies that participate in our Mental Health and DD Agencies Council. So that's not, that includes some agencies that are human services providers in Champaign County but are not funded by either one of the boards. So that was sent out yesterday via email, and I did look yesterday afternoon, and we've already had some results trickle in. So it's kind of how it might affect the agency as a whole, their staff, and the people that they served. So we have that survey posted until March, right before we have to do the board packet. So the 6th or the 9th, I can't remember what the actual deadline was on it, but we do plan to include that information in board packets.
So I just want to thank staff for putting that together and thank agencies for sharing, and folks we support sharing that information. Would be really helpful to share it in a public way.
Okay, I think we're at new business, and I don't think we have any decisions to be made here, but there is a review of applications for 2026 funding in the packet, and you should have all received the electronic version yesterday. So that is included, and there is also a list of who's reading what. So recommendation is to get started early, I think, because there's a lot to read.
Question?
Yes.
Do we know how close the requests from the agencies are to the budget that will roughly actually be available? I know it's always a guesstimate, so I'm not asking for exact, but are we within the limits or are we over the limits, do you think? Because we've got some,
it's way too early for us to even make an estimate. So okay. I have an idea of the rough idea of what the property tax revenue increase will be for 2026, but what this is also calculated on is what's available in 2025, which could be affected by some things that are not within our control that are novel to 2025. So I hope to learn how much money we might owe somebody soon, But again, like usually I can't even give you a rough estimate until about mid-April. So I know like people really want to know that before they start reading. So I would say like I apologize because I can't, you know, I can't say yes, we could afford everything. So it's, I think every year it's the same. This year the uncertainty is around 2025 budget. I don't know if our fund balance includes certain things that we might not have in the next month. So,
thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else? Comments or questions? No? All right, let's move on to old business, response to emerging threats. Who wants to take the lead on this one? Anybody? Okay.
So I can take. So in the packet, there is a great article by the NEA. So, Lynn, did you put that in?
It is in there.
Okay. Thank you, Kim, for putting that in there. Which really highlights, like, how impactful this would be for, you know, school-age kids if the U.S. Department of Ed was dismantled. Impactful to children, babies, children, and school-age. Yeah, right, exactly. But also, if this actually were to happen, I mean, most of the folks that we do support here on the DD board are adults and families. And so it's just a trickle effect to down the line. So it has a direct impact on us. I would also just say the threats of Medicaid and funding. Tomorrow, the Going Home Coalition, some of you are part of the Going Home Coalition, but they're having a training for advocates to talk about, I think it's at 3 p.m. I'll share it with you, Kim, the information, for advocates to talk about how to advocate about keeping their Medicaid. And then I think that isn't in here, but there's a case in Texas versus Becerra, which is a case that about the Rehab Act, Section 504, actually, of the Rehab Act. So Texas is suing there were new regulations for Section 504 that were adopted in May. One of the regulations was to identify gender dysphoria as a disability, and the case is against having that included in Section 504. But it even goes even further because the case is suing to eliminate Section 504 at all. It is overturning Section 504. So the disability, it's DREDF, D-R-E-D-F, and I'm going to get the acronym wrong. It's Disability Research and Education Fund or something. They did a community training last week about what we can do to fight this case. So there's 17 attorney generals. Illinois is not one, but there's 17 states attorney generals that are suing federal government to eliminate Section 504, which protects discrimination discrimination based on disability in employment and education. So if this in that training, one of the speakers was saying, if this falls, this is the firewall. 504, Section 504 is the firewall for disability rights, and if it falls, everything else will fall. So there are things we can do, like we can contact Attorney General Kwame Raoul, did I pronounce his name right, to write an amicus brief to support Section 504. If you have anybody you know in your networks who are working or living in any of these 17 states, they can actually request that their state's attorney general withdraws from the case. But on February 25th, the Trump administration paused their work in this case, and they're going to give an update on February 25th. So it is coming around the corner. So this is hugely impactful, and it would be traumatic. It would just be terrible. So those two things, DREF and the Going Home Coalition training, I'll share with Lynn, and she can send it. Do you mind sending it out, Lynn?
You know, I have it.
Probably. Oh, you do? You have it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry I didn't send it for the packet in time.
That's
Yeah.
And this kind of fits with that whole DEI thing that they're so opposed to.
And I think, Vicki, that is a great point. So, like, this, you know, we, I think, as advocates for our community members and people we love and we work with, whether they're part of the disability community or not, or part of any other identity community, I mean, the attacks on DEIA is just a cascading effect. So it started with ICE, and it just is a cascading effect. And so there has to be some kind of firewall happening. Anyways, so that's what I have to say about that.
Okay. Engage Illinois is up next.
Actually, input from people with DD.
Oh, input from people with DD, yes. Which is on page number 33 in the packet. Yeah, so talk about it, Lynn.
Actually, I'm sorry, it's taken me a second to, because I was going to email you the going home information. I also got
put your microphone.
Yeah, thank you. So I was getting ready to email you the Going Home Coalition invite, and I've asked Carol Rosen, who is the coordinator for that, to give us some input from people with DD for next month's meeting, and then after that, you're all going to be kind of busy with reviewing applications, so maybe we'll take a break. But I like this. This is just a group that meets every weekend, and Vicki Nieswander came up with some questions. The coordinator added a couple of questions based on what the group wanted to talk about, which I thought was cool, and I like the answers. They wanted to learn to cook, and it just so happens that she's, you know, a trained cook, sometimes chef, and so she's like, oh, okay, we can do that. So anyway, I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
And we want to make it a regular monthly if possible, but maybe take a break in April.
Okay.
Wait, Vicki, real quick.
Lynn. Oh. Have a message from advocates.
Sure.
All right, so I'm Kelly Martin with DSC, and I'm here this morning to share a message with you from our advocates. Unfortunately, we were hoping to have them join us today, but they were unable to. But they asked me to share information with you about Spread the Word, and this is an international movement about inclusion that's been around since 2009. Its initial focus was about stopping people from using the R word, but since then the movement has grown to include messages about anti-bullying, inclusion for all people, using, you know, in addition to using respectful language. So this year, Spread the Word is on March 5th, and we have several advocates that are going to be doing things within the community to get people to take the pledge for inclusion, and we're hoping that next month, if there's time allowed, an individual can come and kind of share how that went. So we're just hoping that between now and then you might learn a little bit about the Spread the Word movement if you're not familiar with it, or about the changes that have happened with it. And you can go to spreadtheword.global to take the pledge for inclusion. So thank you.
Thank you.
Vicki, was really quick, can I just add?
Of course.
So that's great. And I think please have, come to the meetings, and even going to the county board meetings, sharing that, it would be an awesome thing for them to do. So the other thing, when I read this, question number four, they want to know more about cooking, but also transportation. And I know that one of the, I kind of keep bringing this up, and so I know it might be a repeat, but, you know, there are issues with the Department of Transportation and grants getting cut, across the board, but there is a worry that funding for transportation that has anything to do with any of the forbidden 100-some words around DEIA, that at will these federal grants could be cut. So I think we should probably keep an eye out on funding cuts that might happen to MTD that would be then a cascading effect to transportation support for folks we support on the DD board, and then which would then be a cascading effect on Community Choices transportation grant. Like they would have to, you know, figure out, I mean, it would just be a lot. So that's just something else
we should be. Taxi service for everybody.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, lovely. You know, can it's all connected.
So, and, you know, it's really important because.
Turn it on. Sorry. MTD provides annual free bus passes for people with disabilities. All you have to do is go in with a doctor's note or an agency note, and you can make your way, if you know how to use the bus, anywhere in the community. So it's a big deal.
Right, and who pays for that? Well, the federal government. Yeah, eventually, right? So, yeah, it's very bad. So I guess I would say, I mean, I don't think we're saying anything that the folks here in the audience don't know or appear, but Jenny, as you are our liaison to the county board and communicating at a county board meeting of how these things might be affecting folks with developmental disabilities in our community, that would be really great to share some of these things.
Thank you, Kim. So we have a little bit of information moving on to Engage Illinois, page 43 to 48 in the packet. Just an update from my perspective. I've been participating on their steering committee, and they are taking a step back rather than jumping ahead and proposing legislation and doing a lot of advocacy stuff at the moment. Mm-hmm. They need to get their thing together and build a structure to do that so that they can be successful long term. So they are thinking that they'll be ready to do that possibly in the fall, but they will keep us posted on their thoughts and activities and ideas from this point forward. You have a little bit of that in the packet. They are right now working on branding and a website and all those things that new organizations have to do so that they can do their outreach and make it meaningful. So they asked me personally this last week if they might be able to do a presentation for this group in the fall possibly. So I said, yeah, that would be great, but we can talk about that further.
So don't forget they're selling the cookbook.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I bought it Christmas presents for some people who actually cook, but they're selling a cookbook through their justadollop.org temporary website, and they're part of that is going to support Engage Illinois, getting legal status and hiring a lobbyist, right? They did have some immediate financial needs and
the structural stuff is what they're dealing with right now. But they have gotten a grant, a $25,000 grant from the Coleman Foundation in Chicago, okay. And it looks like the Coleman Foundation is willing to give them another $250,000 in their next grant cycle.
Well, okay,
people are waking up to the need.
But still, the cookbook is great.
The cookbook is great. The cookbook has nothing to do with Engage Illinois. It's just that Engage Illinois is using that website because Sharon, who is the leader of this effort, her daughter is one of the writers of the Just a Dollop cookbook.
Well, they get to keep the money then.
They do get to keep the money. So it does not go to any kind of political effort, that's for sure. Okay, we are at Evaluation Capacity Building Project Update. Do we have somebody here? Yes, Sai.
All right. Well, it's nice to see all of you this morning. I'm here. Jacinda usually comes in the mornings, and I usually go in the evenings, but I'll keep a quick update on the Evaluation Capacity Building Project. So we are plugging along, and, you know, I've even been working with some of the people in this room on some of the evaluation capacity building, and it's been really wonderful to connect with people, learn about the programming, and help to showcase the good work that's going on. And I think that, you know, those the data and evaluation outcomes, I'm hoping, will be
helpful in, you know, keeping funding going for this important work. So I'll pause there. So we've been working with a working group that we're hoping will transition into a more of a community of practice, learning community type thing. And we get feedback and talk about evaluation things. And right now we have 3 people from mental health agencies who consistently show up to that. And we're really hoping to get some representation from DD agencies. And so we meet twice a month. And I have asked a couple of DD agencies if they have anyone in mind for that, but I wanted to share that here in case you think of someone who might be a good candidate, someone who isn't already an expert in evaluation, where we can sort of learn together. And, you know, for the evaluation team, we're figuring out what's actually going to be useful for the agencies, and then hopefully there's some evaluation capacity building as a part of that as well. And then we are thinking about microlearnings and other trainings we can move into the spring and into the next year of the project. And we will be continuing technical assistance. And that's a very brief summary of what we have going on right now. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Again, there we go. Any questions from the board?
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I might be interested in seeing a list of the different topics that you cover, like with the micro learnings. That might be helpful.
Yes. So we right now, the big thing that's been finished recently is a series on logic models. Mm-hmm. And so our associate director, Nate Underland, we use a cooking metaphor. And so I was thinking about the cookbook, so it's appropriate. And he's, you know, wearing a chef's hat and talking about how inputs are like the ingredients for a recipe and walking through that. And so some of them we're going to start to, and some of the feedback we've gotten from the agencies is that there's such a big variation of evaluation skills. So we're going to start to try to cater to those different levels and maybe have like a note on different micro learnings and trainings that say this might be appropriate for you if you have this level of evaluation experience, because we want to make sure that, you know, one of the challenges is that the agencies are so unique and have such varied skill sets with evaluation, and we want to make sure we're being as helpful as possible. So
great.
Show you some things on the screen if you want.
You want to? Okay, sure.
Just by coincidence, that's one of the topics for March is potential renewal of the contract. So we have a memo for next month that actually lists, where is it? There, a list of the micro learnings so far. And it's just as she said, the several on logic model and then the earlier ones, which you might have even seen, how to avoid overpromising and underdelivering, and then process and outcome evaluation. So you'll be able to access those very soon when we finish the memo.
Okay.
You could actually, they're publicly available on the Family Resiliency site.
Okay.
So
very good.
And then the other thing, if I can go backwards in time. Okay. Just to show you, because I think that was a really good question about the minutes from the November meeting, just to show you they did get corrected, and we will absolutely see, there you are. We will absolutely fix that in the January minutes too. Thank you so much for noticing that. I'm sorry.
No, I should expect nothing less. You guys are awesome. So sorry.
I'm sorry that we keep doing that to y'all.
Okay, moving forward with the agenda, the Disability Resource Expo update deferred. We're not going to talk about that today. There is some material in the packet, though.
Well, I thought that we wouldn't have anything. No, there's nothing about the expo, but I didn't think we would have anything. And the day that we were putting the board packets together, we did. We got the Save the Date flyer, which is beautiful. So we can put that in next month. And we got the date, which is October 18. So mm-hmm. That is a big news update. There might be more if you want these guys.
Sure. No.
October 18th. I literally have nothing else.
Steering committee
is going to meet. There's no set date. I have a date, October 18th. That's all I know.
Very loosely structured at this point.
They're trying to get a steering committee meeting together. No date set yet.
Also, these guys are being so shy, but the 3 of us put together a reminder of the approved budget from the budget that you and the Mental Health Board approved last year, which includes pieces for the expo, plus we put it against the actual 2024 expenditures. So this was a group effort, the three of us, and we shared that with the coordinators so that we can, this year, we can all know what's going on. So.
A good thing.
Can I just ask a follow-up question? So, Lynn, is that what this on page 24, 25 is, like this, the disability expo?
That's a summary from last year's expo.
And then, so I think we've talked about this before because the county, right, invests money in, yeah, can you walk through, it's not a self funded event,
no.
Right? The expo. It's not self funded, or is it?
No, the Mental Health Board and the DD Board fund it, and then they raise a lot of money. The coordinators tend to get a lot of money from sponsorships and exhibitor booths. There are some county departments who are reliably purchase a booth and show up and have interesting displays. It's a Saturday, so sometimes it's hard for agencies and government units to staff, because everybody's got the same kind of constraints on their staffing. But for the most part, they do. So that in that way, they contribute. The state's attorney's office has state of Illinois grant funding to do a similar event as the Scott Bennett Family Resource Fair, but they do that at the top of the school year, and ours is later in the year. So.
Thank you. And I guess the reason I bring this up is just because with funding and a worry about funding that might be impacted in this year, I would hate for anything to be, I would hate for this to affect the Disability Resource, Disability Expo. Because I know that, right? I mean,
yes.
So, and, you know, one of the things I think we talked about before was just really talking about how this expo is really unique because of the people who, I think Chandra was talking about, like the people who are designing it, running it, all the things, and highlighting that this is a really like a unique thing for Champaign County. So I guess we'll probably need to kind of share that information with Jenny and the public. Like, I just wouldn't want anything to happen to the, I mean, I don't think anybody would want anything to happen with the Disability Expo. So just planning ahead.
I don't think we have worries about people who are local power, you know, leaders about, you know, getting rid of anything like that. I think most of that pressure is going to come from the federal government, and they want to take money away because we're doing things that they don't like. Then that's where the pressure is going to come from, I think.
That could be, definitely. I just think there's always folks, even within our own community, who are looking to make sure that they're cutting any extra fat in any kind of government. So we should, I guess I would just
be
say.
Be aware.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly right.
Emerging threat.
Yeah, duh. Uh-huh. Okay, where are we? Second activity, or second quarter program activity reports, 49 to 71. This is information provided for, that's through December, I think. Is that right? Any questions or comments on those? Anne?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions and comments. First of all, thank you for presenting this information. One comment is when an agency does put some verbal comments in the comment section, it is always very helpful for me as a board member. So thank you for doing that. I guess I had a conversation with Lynn yesterday that I thought was going to be quick, and then my phone documented it was 25 minutes we spent on the phone. So, yeah, and we were talking about this stuff the whole time. We weren't just yammering on. So I don't want to belabor this, but there were a couple of things that jumped out at me. On page 50, the Community Life Short-Term Assistance Program from CCRPC, they had zero new clients in the non-treatment plan client group and two in the treatment plan client group. And it looked like that those were pretty low numbers. So I guess the explanation is there somebody here that wants to speak?
Well, yeah, I think someone is here, but I could just briefly comment, yeah. And maybe this will answer your question. Yeah, they have had a difficult time finding people that are eligible. So beginning February 1st, we did a contract amendment to open this program up to people that are currently served through the Medicaid waiver. So people that live in a group home or have home base were previously ineligible, and beginning February 1st, those people are now eligible given that they meet the other requirements. So we do expect that the program will open up and be able to serve more people given that we made that change.
Okay, thank you very much for that explanation. I think Lynn and I talked about that, but I wanted to get that out on the public document, that is a major change that has been made based on good thinking about what's going on. So that was one. I had some other questions about numbers, but I'm going to move to page 58, the Transportation Support Program, sponsored by Community Choices. And it looks like it's a tremendously useful service, and we were talking about that. So I just wanted to highlight that. And in the comments section, which I very much appreciate because it didn't show up in the graphs that are shown, or the columns mm-hmm. that are shown, total of 722 rides were provided. Of those, 332 were taking people to work. So half of the rides provided are to allow people to go to work. And I just wanted to highlight that and also thank the agency for putting that in the document. And I think that's my only comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, where are we? We are at the second quarter service claims data, which I think kind of as a whole included with the other, but is anybody a little bit different there?
The thing that I think is valuable about having these reports both present is that in the first one you see, like if you're looking at treatment plan and non-treatment plan clients, you only see who started that quarter.
Mm.
And so they might have just had like a 2-hour screening and then gone away. But we understand that most developmental disability services are longer term, ideally. Like if it's support or, some training program, we might want to see it go on all year. So this report shows you how much time was spent and how many people were served during the quarter. And I think is that right? It's just during the quarter? Or do you do these cumulative?
No, the fourth quarter is the only one that's cumulative. These are all first through third are quarterly. It's easy for me to say.
So this is also quite an undertaking, like the entry of the data. Thank you, everybody, and the sorting of the data, which Kim Bowdrey does on her own. Are really meaningful to me because they tell the story of how the services are utilized and the volume of services. And the volume is important because of what kind of services you're funding, but it doesn't show up in the structure of those traditional quarterly reports. So putting
that
these together,
clarifies.
I think, is nice. I don't know if anybody dwells on them a lot, but about once a year we really dwell on them. And
cumulative.
Can I ask a follow-up question? So, like, I was noticing that a lot of the services are served off-site, which I interpreted that as providing services in the places where people want to be in the community. Is that an accurate?
Yeah, correct. That would be out in the community, basically anywhere besides the agency office.
So that's great. And we ask this question constantly, like, how
that's
are
very
folks?
Hope.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right, we are already at successes in other agency information. Not that our meeting's going to end any quicker than it usually does, but you're part of it, Will.
Hi, I'm Becca with Community Choices. I just wanted to kind of follow up on a couple of your comments about the transportation, including the comments made by the self-advocates. So sort of understanding how other transportation resources in the community works is something we've been trying to sort of implement more and more throughout the program. So this actually just last week we had our second transportation workshop, which have been open to both individuals with disabilities and family members, community members, to just learn about other options and learn about maybe how to use those in a way that might work for them more individually. And so I think last week's sessions were about sort of how to mitigate risk and how to maybe use like Uber or Lyft, how to sort of combine that with like a Find My Friends on your phone or Life 360 or some of these other services that can kind of help to sort of maybe allay some fears around being out in the community on your own, if that is a resource that you use. And then I just to echo about the comments about people getting to work. So that is something we've seen consistently. I think every single quarter that we've offered the program is that about half of the rides are for employment. And so, which is wonderful, and I think has really made it, has helped our employment program too, which is sort of as a side sort of benefit because people do have that additional resource. Although the one thing that actually makes me really happy when I look at that data is that the second most common thing people use the rides for is for leisure. And so that was one of the things that we were really hoping that people would use it for, was to be able to just get out and see their friends and maybe not need to rely on a parent or a support worker or somebody in order to connect with their community in those like most organic ways, which is just those individual relationships. And so seeing that one there kind of on the top of that list always makes me feel really pleased. The other comment I just wanted to make, I did see that there was the flyer for it in the packet, but the Transition Planning Committee's parent event is going to be on April 1st in the evening at Champaign Public Library. It's going to be a parent panel and self-advocate presentation kind of about what are sort of some of those key things to have in place as you sort of plan for and move into adult services. And so we have four families that are going to be presenting and two self-advocates. I think it's going to be a really great event. I think we already have, as of like last week, it was like 60-70 people already RSVP'd for it. So I think we have space for about 120, maybe 110. We'll see. And so if you are interested in attending that, or you have people who are interested, we do really encourage you to just RSVP. There's no cost. It's totally free. We are just trying to figure out how we're going to try to get food and make enough chairs for everybody. So we're really looking forward to that. And it's been a really good collaborative committee kind of putting that together. Thanks.
It sounds like a great event, but I know that there is a pretty heavy registration for the daytime portion of the program, right? This, the self-advocates portion, did they had to register separately for this?
No, there's only one registration and there's no daytime element to event. So that maybe is something else.
All right. Okay. Just my misunderstanding then. I'll learn more. Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Hi there. It's almost not worth sitting down because it's going to be very quick, but I wanted to mention that we have actually two new program directors with DSC. AJ Zwettler is our new director of employment services, and he was previously a manager, and we're very excited that he's assuming that role. We are very sad. That means that Annette Becker is retiring as of April 4th, and I think I did mention that before. So I think last month was her last meeting. And then I also wanted to introduce, we have a new director of our family development program, Jessica Smith. Jessica has adult DD experience. She's previously been with Regional Planning Commission, and also when that change occurred and state funding, she was not with Prairie Land. She was with CISA, so it was a different service provider. So she brings a lot of IDD knowledge, and we're excited to kind of blend that with our early intervention program. So she probably won't attend this meeting as much, but she'll be at the mental health board meeting since that's primarily funded through through CCMHB. But wanted to welcome her and both of them. And it'll probably be the only time I mentioned this, but after we hired them, I realized that both of them were not born when I started at DSC. So so I'm not doing any more hiring. No. So thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
You look great.
Thank you. Someone bought in.
Danielle Matthews, DSC. I just wanted to add for advocating that they're really focusing on Congresswoman Mary Miller right now for the Medicaid federal cuts. And so if you are interested in getting involved, it'd be a great way to make some calls, send some emails this week and next week.
She has a local office in Mahomet. And apparently it's staffed all the time. Not necessarily by her, but somebody.
Thank you. I promise I won't ever do that again. thank you for the introduction, Patty. Again, I'm AJ Zwettler. I've been the Community First Manager at DSC for quite a long time. But I wanted to thank you for having me today. I just wanted to share a couple of things that we're looking forward to in both the Community First and at the Crow, just in the next couple of months. But I'd like to share, though, that after first attending in 2021, we're pleased to send another group of 10 people to the Indianapolis Comic-Con. That marks the fourth consecutive trip by our program. And speaking of trips, earlier this month, a group of people were able to attend the Chicago Auto Show, where each person had an amazing time and got to sit in a $250,000 sports car. I was very sad that I was not able to go with them. At the Crow, December's holiday open house was the fifth annual, if you're counting the virtual one held in 2020. And going into the spring, we're very busy planning for the Boneyard Arts Festival. Last year, 30 artists participated in the show, and we're on track to exceed that this year. So we look forward to inviting you and seeing you on April 4th and 5th at the Crow. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right, then. Okay, county board input.
She's still muted.
Still muted.
I am thinking this would be me. I don't actually have any input as of yet since this is my first meeting, but I'm looking forward to bringing all of this feedback to the board for our next meeting on Thursday. I'll be sharing information definitely on contacting, Mary Miller, talking about the Spread the Word campaign that's coming up, and anything else that you pass along my way, I can get that shared. Thank you.
Thank you. Champaign County Mental Health Board input. Lynn?
Well, they'll be meeting this evening. They got almost as many applications for funding as you did this year. That's unusual for them to be balanced. So, yeah. Anyway, there is something that I forgot to ask about earlier in the meeting, and that is, on your schedule is a joint meeting with the Mental Health Board on March 26th in the evening here, but the only issue that we have for the two boards, we could actually handle at your March 19th meetings separately and then cancel that joint meeting, if y'all are okay with that.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe we're okay with that.
All right.
All right, and I turned the page at the wrong time. All righty, board announcements. Any board announcements? I'm not hearing anything. No? Okay. All right, then. In that case, we are I will move to enter into closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C11 to consider litigation which is pending against or on behalf of Champaign County and litigation that is probable or imminent against Champaign County. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board, Executive Director Canfield, Associate Director Bowdry, and Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher. Do we need to, did you read the wrong part?
No, just to be really complicated, there are two motions, but let's take them one at a time.
Okay, we'll take that one first that I just made. Yep. We need a second for that.
Second.
Any comments on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, second one, that one carries. I will also move to enter into closed session for semi-annual closed session minutes review pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C21. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board, Executive Director Canfield, and Associate Director Bowdry. A second, please.
Second.
And any conversation on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that passes. And thank you all for attending, and we'll be back in open session to make any decisions later, but I don't think anybody's going to stay for that, right?
Thank you. Oh, I have to recuse myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
Good job.
Okay. So we're ready to go back into session or not?
So you call to order and we do a roll call and then one more motion.
Okay, we're back into open session. Let's have a roll call, please.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin. Neil Sharma. Susan Fowler.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here. Okay, I think the only motion before us is regarding closed session minutes. Is there a specific language for the motion here?
Yeah, it's right here.
Ah, thank you. Okay, I will move to accept the February 19th, 2020, February 26th, 2020, July 21st, 2021, and February 23rd, 2022 closed session minutes as presented or revised to continue maintaining them as closed and to destroy the recording of the February 23rd, 2022 meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor say, oh, we need to do roll call. Yeah. There you go. Thank you.
Susan Fowler.
Aye.
Neil Sharma. Kim Fisher?
Aye.
Ann Robin? Vicki Nicewander?
Aye. Motion carries.
And that concludes our business for this meeting, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.